Sim, cool, awesome. How's it going, man? I cannot, no. Ah, perfect. Yep. You actually got a really good picture there.
Is it better like this or like this?
That's good right there, how you have it there.
All
I
right.
like the setup.
But yeah, that's my trade show stuff right there. For like our
Nice.
golf tournaments or our trade shows we do. I figured out I seen it there. I'm like, you know what? I'll put this up today. It'll look kind of cool.
That's good. Because every time I would see you at a meeting or whatever, I'd always like pick you out of a group because you have your
Yeah.
Midwest Softworks shirt on, and
Yeah.
it reminds me of like a NASCAR jacket or something.
Yeah.
Like just the colors, I guess, of it. So it really stands out. So,
Yeah, that's what we try to do is, it's everyone's like, you're so bright. I'm like, yeah, but when I go somewhere, everyone can see me. And then me and Jamie, we did some stuff over the holidays, and we did some like parties and stuff when we wore, nicer clothes, and they're like, I said, hey, how you doing? And they're like, they look at me kind of weird and they're like, oh, Rick. I'm like, what? The shirt? You don't recognize me without my shirt on?
Yeah.
It's kind of funny. But cool. Can you
Yeah.
hear me okay and all that stuff for the recording?
Yeah, I can. I
Okay.
think I need to turn my
Because I have a headset I can put on if I don't know if that's any better or not, but I know sometimes these things can work really well and sometimes they can be, a nightmare.
Yeah. No, I got you
Technology.
good now, so
Cool.
So did you have a good 2024? Was pretty busy in terms of washing and stuff.
Yeah. So it was our best year ever. The last probably 4 or 5 years have we've been significantly doing a little bit better each year, and this year has been really well. We had a good crew and all that stuff, so no complaints on employee stuff. Yeah, there's always issues with technicians here and there, but our main technician Johnny and then our other lead tech have been with us, so they're doing well. And yeah, we're just having a great time and looking forward to 2025.
Awesome. So how long have you been doing this?
We've been in business, so June will be 16 years. And it's I say, people are like, oh, you've been doing it for 16 or 15 or 14. And that was when I quit my job. So I was still kind of like, I told my boss I couldn't work full time and I was washing, but I was still kind of helping them out and doing side jobs. But that was the date that I put, hey, I can no longer work full time. And then probably for the last 10 years, it's been something that we working on. We knew it was a business we were going to do. I was going to do it for the rest of my life. And then about 7 years ago, Jamie came on full time, my wife.
Awesome. So you've been doing it quite a while then.
Yeah, we've been doing it for a while. And then since I graduated high school, the only two and like jobs I've ever really had is I was a concrete finisher and then I was washing. So I worked for a company washing dealership cars. I worked for the union doing concrete finishing, non-union, and then one day I just bought my own power washer and decided that was it. Wanted to, I guess, go into business for myself. I did it as a side job, really. I didn't realize it was gonna be anything, and I always thought for about 5 or 6 years I was gonna go back into concrete.
And concrete work sucks. So
Yeah,
I don't
yeah.
know how you feel about it,
I,
but
yeah, and
I,
I'm no. So I'm 44, just turned 44. So I started concrete back in my first job. I never was on a job site with concrete or anything, and I'm 20 years old. I'm getting on there back in 2020, 2000, 2001, and it was different then than it is now. So I got a rude awakening. They didn't treat you so nice back in the day.
yeah,
Little humble.
I had to do the concrete footings on my deck when I built my deck, and that was the absolute worst part about it was with doing that because the bags are heavy and you got to mix it. It's like my arms are just dead. I had to do three different puddings. And I realized at that point that I'm glad I never went into concrete work.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good. You know, I did it. I did it for about five years, about two and a half years. I was in the union doing all commercial work. Then I went non-union doing residential. And then it was great, but it was, you know, we're talking my early 20s. I started when I was 20. And it beat me up. And I'd come home just exhausted, you know, cause at the time I was an apprentice. Then I became a finisher. And then when I went non-union, you did everything, you know, there wasn't a laborer, there wasn't a finisher. There was, you know, you got on the skid loader, you're doing a skid loader, you're finishing, you're doing this. So the company I worked for was a real small company. And, you know, if you didn't know how to do it, you learned. And, so that was great learning how to do all the little aspects of that. But it was, yeah, definitely hard on your body for sure.
So does having done concrete before you got into the, like washing and power washing, did that kind of help you understand what you can and can't do in terms of washing sidewalks and driveways and different concrete and stuff like that, or like what could harm it?
Yeah. So yeah, when I did concrete, we did a lot of finishing and stuff, and we did a lot of exposed aggregate and stuff when I went a non-residential, non-commercial. And we did a lot of stamp stuff. So yeah, it was, you know, I was always the guy that was, you know, power washing stuff. One of my bosses would use, Pepsi to, you'd pour the concrete. Then you can either do like a Rugosol or some other, retardant basically to keep the top layer of concrete from curing. And then that'll get your, they call it exposed aggregate where it looks like pebbles. But it's also the sugar content in there is what does it. So you could put soda on there and then you take a power wash and power wash it off. That was really the cheap way to do it. But yeah, I did a lot of power washing and stuff like that on the concrete and, you know, but it wasn't really until I started washing is when I really started learning some other stuff. But when I got into washing, I started on the commercial side. Of washing. I didn't get into residential washing probably until about like really residential soft washing until about 2015.
Okay. So with commercial, were you doing like parking lots and stuff like that or?
Yeah. Sidewalk? Yeah. So the company I worked for a power washing company for 3 years. I was a lead technician and they did dealership car washing. So they went all to the dealerships and we used to wash them and wipe them down with a chamois. So one guy would wash them, the other guy would go behind and they would dry them with a chamois or like a rag or something. And then you just do like hundreds of cars a day. And then, when I started doing that. So I started knocking on dealerships, the small dealerships that had 20, 30 cars of buy here, pay here places. And, at that time in 2009, you know, on some of these lot bigger lots, you would have 500, 600, 700, 800 cars on these lots. It's not like it is now. So I'd go in there and we started washing. This is how we started. You know, we started getting more lots. I was really dependable. One thing about me that when I learned from concrete is if you were late, you got really yelled at. And back in those days, it was, you know, you could get let go. Or especially if you're a non-union, you know, it wasn't like, you know, my boss, it was just us and three other guys. So when guys would show up late, he'd just cut them loose, you know? So I always knew, you know, I'm a big sucker for being on time. I really get stressed out if I'm late to stuff. But yeah, it was just, you know, doing the car washing. It was just, I was able to, you know, always be there. You know, they said, yeah, we had other guys in the past, they wouldn't show up. Stuff like that. So, and it just kind of turned into something.
I got you. So, like with your company, I know it's Midwest Soft Wash, but I'm assuming you do like power washing as well if it's required. I know like the big thing I try to tell people, like when I do their home inspections is some people like to just use a power washer and everything. And like, they'll tear wood up on their decks. They don't set it right. Or, you know, I'm not a big fan of like people power washing their siding. because there's weep holes in it, and they, you know, you can get water up under there where you don't really want it necessarily. And I try to tell people, you know, get like a chemical and just soft wash it, like, because, you know, they get algae and stuff like that. What I used to tell people is like, get something like Joe Max, but I don't know if you have something that you prefer or that you would recommend or whatever. I guess, is the stuff you use available to people, or is it more of like a commercial product?
Yeah. So, well, the stuff, so basically it's bleach, sodium hypochloride. Pool Shock is bleach. It's not chlorine. It's just a higher percentage of bleach. Like your Clorox bleach is about an 8% bleach content. Your Pool Shock is about a 10 to 12. Stuff at Home Depot might be like a 9. Bleach isn't, you know, is basically what Pool Shock is. But yeah, so what we do is we get it delivered at 1,000 gallons at a time through, they make it, then they send it out here. So what's ours is can be about a 15%, cause we use, that's our main, is our soft wash. So we use bleach mainly, but with our system, it blends it through our system where we use, like, we can take the 15% and then it'll go all the way down to 1% for like a house wash or something. So yeah. Okay. So yeah, what we get, you have to have a business and you have to have a facility to get that kind of stuff for them. But basically it's the same stuff as if you go to a pool place and get Pool Shock, it's most likely coming from the same company.
Now, do you use that stuff on like all different types of sidings, or is there some sidings where you're using something different?
So the only thing we really, when it comes to siding, it's you can use bleach really on any type of siding. It's when you get to like a hardy board, like the Masonites and some other stuff out there that's being painted. A lot of manufacturers nowadays are saying it's an outdoor paint, but it's actually an organic. And anything organic, the paint, anything organic, like organic paint, it'll turn green or yellow when you hit it with bleach. That, like, if you have a cotton or anything like that, so you got to be careful with that. We'll do test spots on houses. But we washed a house, we did a couple test spots, and then we washed a section in it, and some of the section have turned colors, and they're like, oh yeah, I went and I painted it. And they're like, oh well, you didn't tell us. And they're like, yeah, I didn't. And you wouldn't think it's a big deal, but then you get their paint and it's an organic paint. So that's stuff we really want to make sure. That's why we go in person to every estimate. When people call us, they're like, hey, can you just give me a quote over the phone? Like, we can't. We need to go in person, do everything off of square footage, and then see what the condition is of the house, if it is a paint and service or just normal siding.
Yeah. And so, like, with that, like, hardy board or, like, the Masonite stuff, I know a lot of that, like, the bottom parts of that siding starts to deteriorate if it's not taken care of very well. Is that something that, like, if you guys go there to kind of give a quote and you see that it's really worn out, is that going to affect what you do, or is what you do, would that create an issue, like messing that stuff up?
No. So a quick kind of a rundown, the difference between soft washing and power washing. So when a lot of guys say they're soft washing and they're using any type of a power washer, they're power washing with chemicals. So a lot of guys will use a downstreaming or method to take your bleach and soap and suck it through the power washer. And they'll bring down the pressure from 3,000, 3,500 to 1,500 or something like that. But using that power washer component, whether you're applicating the chemical on the surface or you're using it to rinse, when you put that power washer in the mix, you're still power washing. Our equipment, all of our trucks are equipped with a 12-volt pump, and it's a booster pump. And that booster pump is something you might see like in a car wash, where it just takes the water and it puts it from your tank, and it goes up to 5 gallons a minute, about 120 PSI. So we don't go over 120 PSI and let the bleach and soap do all the work. So you're not looking at that high pressure. Now, when you have someone coming in and they're using the bleach and the high pressure together, that's when you can have some issues with chipping paint, blowing seals out of windows and stuff like that. A lot of times you might not have any issues, but it's when companies don't know how to clean, or they get new technicians in, they just throw them in the field and not properly trained. That's when we hear a bunch of damage. And it's, you know, I've talked to people that have been in business for 20 something years, and they're like, oh yeah, I didn't know you could use a 12 volt. Or I talk to people now that they're like, you don't use a power washer? I'm like, no, I don't. The only time I use a power washer is for concrete. And even the concrete we can soft wash. And they're like, how do you do it? And it's just, it's a completely different cleaning process. Someone that's using a power washer, some of these companies that have four or five or six crews, it's a completely different process than a real soft wash.
So you're mainly, what you do is kind of more relying on the chemical you use to clean versus like just high pressure water.
And a lot of other guys, they don't know how to clean. Like they're like, they'll have a 12 volt pump set up to clean a roof. They're like, they understand they need that percentage to get a little bit higher. So they use that to clean a roof. Then the roof doesn't come as clean as they expected. And then they get on there and they start using a power washer to knock some of that stuff down. Like that. But back to when you were talking about the Joe Max, or you got the wet and forget you can get at Home Depot. When you hook that up, it hooks up to the end of your hose. That's soft washing. If you took a pump up sprayer and you put a little bleach and water in there, like 50-50 mix, and then use your garden hose to rinse, that's soft washing. So you can wash a house. You know, it's going to take a lot longer. I tell everyone we have basically a $40,000 pump up sprayer in the back of our truck. That's basically what we have now. It's a little bit more high end equipment, of course. But that's all that is. Soft washing actually is a lot easier to do it. And I'll have people come to me and ask me, hey, I have a fence or a section. Can you come out? And they'll show me a picture. I'm like, hey, if you want to do it yourself, this is how you can do it. Pump up sprayer, garden hose, make sure you rinse the grass and you should be good. And they'll come to me the next day or next week. I see them and said it worked great.
Yeah, I'm sure like those like white vinyl fences, because they're like, you get that green algae on those all the time. So I'm sure you probably do a lot of stuff like that.
Yeah, we just did one for the Wentzville School District. We do a good amount of work for Wentzville School District, and we just scored a big contract to clean a bunch of buildings and facilities for them. This year coming up. So that was pretty nice. They had a big fence in Wentzville and we cleaned it, and I went there to look at it. You know, it was already scheduled, and I'm like, hey, let me look at the fence, because Jamie wasn't sure if we needed extra hose. And I was there and I'm like, well, I'm just going to soft wash it now. And I got half of it done. I came back the next day just because I didn't have enough water, but this whole fence was probably about 1,000 feet long. And I probably used less than 200 gallons of water on it.
Wow.
So with the soft washing, you're using usually a third less water than traditional power washing. A lot of the power washing guys are like, hey, I have an 8-gallon, 10, 12-gallon minute machine. I'm pumping out all that gallons per minute plus the high pressure. With the fence, I was able to spray it, let it sit, and then I was able to come by and lightly rinse it down. So it didn't really take that much water. Now, if we're washing a house or a big building, then we'll applicate the house and then we'll rinse it down with the rinse. And then, of course, we'll use more water.
So is that kind of is your like main bread and butter, like commercial stuff, like doing like apartment complexes or like commercial buildings, or like you said, the Wentzville School District? That's kind of a good gig to be getting in on something like that, because that'll give you a lot of work.
Yeah, we love our commercial. I actually, you know, like we said earlier, I started out doing commercial power washing, and then we moved to residential. So we have basically we run two soft washing trucks. When we're busy, we have each truck is a two-man crew, so we'll have four technicians, and usually one truck runs residential, one truck usually runs commercial, and then they'll go back and forth. But usually during about 8 months out of the year, both trucks are running about equal, 50-50, probably a little bit more residential. I like residential. Jamie, my wife, loves the commercial stuff. Like as far as, you know, getting paid and stuff, when you do a residential job, you're done with the job, you get paid right away. Commercial, it takes a little bit longer. But commercial is, you know, it's nice. It's more, you know, but I don't know. It's kind of hard because I love my residential. I love the commercial. So it's kind of hard to see which one, I guess. I don't know. I'm in the middle, really, I guess. It's hard to see which one I like better than the other.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm sure with commercial, you kind of get more of that like continuous, like work. Like, I'll take like that fence, for example. I'm sure the guys mowing the grass are just going to keep shooting grass yeah. up against fences like that, causing that algae to grow. And so that's kind of a job security for you, I guess, in a way with stuff like that. And commercial, I guess, typically they have a little bit more money to play with. And
With commercial, it's harder to sell your value. They'll look at it and they'll like, awesome, I love your soft wash. I love this, the third less water. Oh, you're partnering up with soft wash systems. You're trained, you're this and that. And a lot of times they'll look at that. They'll look at the price and they'll say, ooh, this guy is, you know, half or a quarter what you are. And then they'll a lot of times go with them. And then we'll get a call back 3 or 4 years later saying, hey, can you bid this job again? It was like, oh, what happened last time? Well, you know, it didn't work out. A lot of times they'll go, but now when you get with property managers, and we have a bunch we work with now that understand, hey, we do a better job than most of the companies out there. It stays clean longer. They said, hey, we've had guys come out. It couldn't come as, they didn't get it as clean, stuff like that. With our residential, we go in person, you know, we sell our value, why we're different than traditional power washing. And when they see someone in, you know, doing an in-person estimate, we write the ticket up for them, give them different A, B, and C packages. Then we email it to them. They really like that. Then they like the cars, the shirts, and all that stuff. So they know we're really professional. So right when they call the office, they already know that we're a professional company. Then when they get other estimates, 90% of the time, another company doesn't come out. So they'll tell me, hey, Rick, I called 3 or 4 people. You're the only company to come out. So they're like, I don't understand how they can, you know, give me an accurate quote on that. And it's like, yep.
Yeah, you definitely seem to be more thorough and detailed. Like, I feel like with washing companies, especially like I keep wanting to say power washing just because that's what I'm used to. Yeah. But like, even though I know like the majority of what you do is soft washing. Which is better, by the way, for those listening. It's less damaging, I would say, I guess. Less chance for, you know, you to damage something while you're cleaning. And it seems to work better to doing the soft, just using chemical with soft wash versus just spraying tons of water at high pressure on stuff. But, I think with those power washing companies, it's one of those businesses that people think they just go get a power washer, a hose, and a tank, and then, you know, start washing houses. And a lot of them don't know kind of what to do in different scenarios, like you were talking about with that hardy board and testing it before you wash it to make sure it's not going to change that paint color. Like, I guarantee I didn't know that. Like, I didn't know that was a thing. So I guarantee you a lot of those guys doing those power washing bids and stuff that aren't even showing up, that I bet they don't know that that's going to happen. And that's kind of a big liability on their part, because they could, ruin somebody's house.
Yeah. And actually, so it's required by OSHA for you to come out and do like an property inspection. You know, it's a lot of, you know, they want you to go out and do a property inspection. Now, do we all do it? No, there's some times that we don't go in person just because they're like, hey, you know, I moved houses, and we're like, well, we're down the street, then we'll give you an estimate, or we'll just wash it. It's someone that we worked with in the past. You know, like, I just, you know, we know your pricing, or you do a good job, just write us a ticket. But we try to definitely go in person. It's 99% of the time we go in person. And then, yeah, most companies starting out, they're like, yeah, it's just, you know, putting bleach and soap on there. And they don't realize you can damage plants. Like, hey, we just need to rinse plants down. But what happens, you rinse them, but then you need something that's going to neutralize that bleach that gets on the plants. We have that. We have something that's called plant wash, and it neutralizes the bleach. It has gypsum in it and helps reinduce good bacteria to the soil. So even though you rinse the plants down, the bleach is going to, you know, depending on how much you're spraying on, if you spray it on there, you could kill a lot of the good bacteria in the soil. So what we want to do is, when we're spraying the plants with that at the end, we want to make sure we're spraying the soil so we can reinduce good bacteria to the soil. And that's a lot of times where people realize, hey, I didn't spray much on the plants. I rinsed it down, and then the plants will die. They'll put a new plant there, and the plant will die again because they killed all the good bacteria in the soil. And that's what we want to, you know, mitigate. And we don't normally have too many issues with that.
I had no clue about that either. So that's not even something I thought about, is like plants getting hit with bleach and stuff. So just the fact that you do that is like, I don't think anybody else would have thought of that. But
and there's
stuff that you've learned as you've gone, or is that stuff that like you've kind of made the mistake of like killing some plants and then you figured out, oh, I need to spray them with this stuff to make sure that this doesn't happen again, or how like a lot of this stuff, like even with like the paint testing on the houses, is this stuff that kind of trial by error?
When I started out, I was doing dealership drive-throughs, gas station restaurants, all the flat work there, heavy equipment cleaning, all that stuff. And I was, you know, I would go out and I would power wash a couple of houses and power wash it. You know, at this time I'm thinking bleach is bad, you know, it only destroys stuff. And then I was talking to my wife, Jamie, and we're like, man, I really want to get into residential and do more stuff, but I just want the equipment that's right for it. So I started looking around them on 2014 and 15. And I was like, man, if I could find something electric or something like that, would be great. Not using a power washer. And then I found Self-Wash Systems. And they're out of Stanford, Florida. And what they do is they have all the equipment, traditional self-washing. The owner of the company, AC, he started washing back in 1990. And he was washing with the garden hose sprayer and a 12-volt pump. And by this time, you know, we had the full-fledged skids they were building. And I liked it because we weren't using a power washer. Their system was the blend system where you turn the dial and you can put 1% soap, 1% bleach. Okay, you need to do a roof, 2%. So then I went, got my equipment, and then they had all the training too. So I went there for a week. I was going through the training for the week, and then they had ongoing training, sales training, marketing, and then training for our technicians. So all of our technicians, before they start, they have 40 hours of training, and then an 80 question test, I think 120 question test, and they have to pass 80%. And it was ongoing training about, hey, this is what the bleach can do. Hey, these are, you know, the special, you know, OSHA requirements, you know, all this stuff that I learned over time with software systems. And that's what I was looking for when I was getting into soft washing. Nowadays, there's a lot of stuff online that you can learn from. And, you know, a lot of guys can get on there and learn it. But back in 2015, there wasn't much stuff going on there. So that's kind of how we got into it.
That's interesting. It's cool, though, that they have schools like that that can kind of teach you the rights and wrongs. Like, because I feel like a lot of people, you know, the way that they go about it, like I was talking before, is they just, you know, get a power washer, start hitting stuff with it.
Yeah.
Or get a hose with some bleach and just start spraying stuff. And it's like, they have no clue what they're doing, really.
Yeah. So, and that's what a lot of them do. And there's a lot of guys out there that are using a power washing method with bleach that do great work and stuff. And, but there's just, when you're an owner operator and you're on that truck, you know, that equipment, you know, it's a lot easier when you start bringing on employees and you start running trucks. You want to build your company, and there's a point where you can't be in the field, and your company gets to a point where you realize, hey, I need to do these. Even the phone ringing can be so much for an owner operator, and that's when they start bringing on employees, and they don't realize, hey, my $200-$150 house wash, now I can't afford an employee because I'm not making enough money, and they don't realize, hey, they've been not charging enough. And then, okay, great. What happens? You know, I can tell them, hey, to rinse it, to do this, to do that. They can't remember all that. So that's where our training is. And then our, you know, our check sheets are and all that stuff. And then our, they talk with the homeowner and all that stuff too. So it really hones in when our technicians do the training. And then that's where we see a lot of, damaging in the field, is when you hear a company did a great, then the homeowner's like, yeah, they came out 2 years ago and they destroyed everything. And, you know, and that's when they start trying to grow their company and they don't realize that there's more to it than just washing.
Yeah. The thing that I think I see the most with houses, because I'm, you know, I do inspections a lot, and then, you know, you get these used houses where people want to get their house cleaned up for the sale, make it look better. they have somebody come in and power wash, and then they power wash the screens on the windows and rip holes in them. And you just see the power washing marks all over the place, like all over everything. And it's like they're using like the laser beam setting on the power washer.
Yeah. The red tip. Yeah. Zero. We call it the mark of Zorro. and also too, and you probably know this, Zach, with the oxidation, you know, we do a lot of oxidation cleaning on siding. So when you touch that siding and you get that chalky stuff, that's oxidation from the sun. That's UV damage. Now we can clean that off. That's a restoration, not a cleaning. That's a separate process. But if you get too close with high pressure, you can peel that off and you leave the lines. When we're washing houses, we'll have it where homeowners will come out and they're like, hey, that doesn't look as clean. They're like, no, it's not going to come any cleaner. Like, well, put your brush on it, because we, you know, we have scrub brushes. We don't scrub the siding, but we'll scrub the gutters. You know, there might be something that we need to scrub on the concrete. They're like, we'll scrub it. And we're like, if we put any pressure on that, we'll scrub this area clean. And when it dries, it's going to look a lot different. And just a minor pressure of you putting your finger on and getting that white siding, that white chalky stuff will do it. And we'll see that all the time where power washer got too close. They're like, well, I never had it happen. And then all of a sudden it's happening everywhere. It's just because you're getting to these houses that have oxidation. And then we come in, we clean them up, and we make them like brand new. But that's just something to know, that people don't ever know about that until they start running into those issues. And then, like you said, the screens, you know, with our low pressure. And it's not low pressure on a power washer. It's a 12-volt system that you have, like, you know, that runs off of our batteries, that when we applicate our rinse, we applicate our chemical, it's at 90 PSI, then we rinse at 120. So it's really not going to do any damage unless, you know, a window's cracked. We don't realize that we're doing an apartment complex. That's the only way we might get some water inside or do any, you know, damage, I guess, on that end.
Gotcha. Yeah. And that just had me thinking, though, like, that'd be a good market for you guys, is like the real estate sale wash. They like clean their sidewalks, driveway, and then the siding, make it kind of look newer. Cause I know, like, you get some of these houses, like, you know, a little bit older, like maybe the early mid 90s, and the sidewalks kind of getting that darker color. Like, it's lost it. The concrete has lost its like new concrete appeal, I guess, or like the siding has a bunch of algae, or like you were talking about those white chalky stains and stuff.
Yeah, we work with a good amount of realtors, and they'll call us in and stuff, and we'll do a house wash. But everything, all of our house washing is off of square footage. And then if we work with someone where they're giving us tons of work and stuff, we can give them a little bit more of a deal on it. But we have networking. I do the chamber. I'm big with Cottleville Chamber. I'm a big sponsor of Cottleville Chamber. I'll meet these people for the first time. I'm like, hey, you know, I'll give you tons of work. Wash this house for like 100, 200 bucks. And it's a house, you get there and it's like, it should have been like $1,200. You know what I mean? And you wash it for them and they're like, you never hear from them. And they come back like, hey, wash this one. So, you know, It's basically where we have to be at a certain price for me and my wife to make money and our technicians, but it's also the quality of the work. We don't want to do it where a lot of these other guys are going out and they're washing 4, 5, 6, 7. I had one power washer call me up once and said, hey, I need help. I'm busy. I can only do 8 houses a day and I got 2 more to do. I'm like, 8? I go, the most we ever do is 3 houses. And a lot of times we're doing 1 or 2. Now we're going to clean the roof, the windows, the concrete, the pool deck, you know, all this stuff. Even a normal size, you know, a smaller house, a bigger house, you know, it could take us a half a day. But we're also not charging 120. We're charging what it is, as, you know, we have a shop, insurance and all that. So, but again, when I talk to other contractors out there that are washing, I go, hey, even if you're a state, you know, a owner operator, raise your rates a little, make a little extra money. And then when you start to grow, you're not going to be in that position where you didn't charge enough. Now you're charging more just to make, you know, to make it by when you have employees. And now customers you've had for 4 or 5 years are like, oh, I'm used to this price. And now you're doubled it. And you're like, well, I need employees and stuff like that. So that's me running off.
It's insane though, like in one day, because that's like, I would think even so, let's say it's summertime and you get a lot more daylight.
Yeah.
You're still not even spending 2 hours per house with day to day.
Yeah. And the most I've done, like, they call it, it's downstreaming. It's basically where when I first started washing houses, I was doing a downstreaming method. It's called the X-Jet. You had a 5 gallon bucket of your chemical here. Then you hooked it to the end of your power washer, and then you would spray the chemical on the house. I worked like that for about a year or so. And then I found soft washing, but that's what a lot of those guys are doing. They're doing that, or they're doing it where it's at the truck and they just put their tip in and it starts sucking the chemical through, where they need, they can wash it that quick. But they're not, they're not taping off doors. They're not taping off outlets. Cause remember, bleach is a corrosive, bleach is also, conducts electricity. So even though your outlets are an outdoor outlet, if that outlet isn't sealed behind it, the bleach soap solution gets behind there and then it'll blow up that outlet. The outlet will start to spark. Well, the GFI isn't going to turn it off because it's at the back of it, but also your breaker at the house might not trip. So I've seen it where guys have burned a couple of outlets up and almost, you can almost burn a house down for that.
Wow. That's interesting.
Yeah.
So just from not taping stuff off.
Yeah. So we tape off all outlets. We tape off. Now, if you just have a normal standard door, we don't really tape it off, but like wood doors, because what will happen, the same thing on your wood door, you get there and it looks fine, but half of that wood door is being hit by the sun every day for about 2 years. And then it's all oxidation. It's just sitting there, never gets wet, never gets rinsed off. So when you finally rinse it off and apply the bleach soap solution, you'll actually wash that oxidation off and it'll look like you stripped the door. It'll look like you stripped half of the door. The upper half where the sun didn't hit it looks perfectly fine. The lower half is completely stripped. And now they're like, hey, my $4,000 or $5,000 wood door, you got to refinish it. And it's a $1,200 to $3,000 refinish on a wood door. So that's stuff that a lot of companies don't realize until they do it. And then they're like, oh, and they just disappear. Not all of them.
Yeah.
A lot of them do get some training.
I'll be honest. I didn't even think about stuff like that. Taping stuff off like that, or the bleach, or even just recognizing that a door is getting hit with the sun, only half of it.
Yep.
And taking action on that to prevent you from stripping.
Or when you do window. Yeah. Or when we do window cleaning. And if you have a sprinkler system that's hitting a window every single day during the summer for 3 or 4 years, it's going to, the hard water is going to get in there and it's going to etch in that window. Well, that'll never come off. You can do a restoration or stuff like a Diamond Magic. You can do like, you could take a buffer and try to buff it out. But if you don't look at the window and say, hey, this window is probably never going to come 100% clean, or, tell them what's going on, they understand. But if you say, hey, I washed your house and I did the window cleaning, you're like, well, you did this to my window. And the homeowner, when you're not there in person also to tell them about that, they're like, well, you did it. They're like, no, it was already like this. And then you explain it to them after the fact and they think, no, because I didn't really, it was there, but they don't look at it and they don't realize that damage already occurred. When you walk the house with them and you're in person and you point out the damage, and then we have a company cam where everyone in the company can take a picture of it. And as soon as they take a picture of it, I can see it. Jamie can see it. Our territory manager, Dan, can see it. Everyone in the company that logged on the company cam can see it. And then that goes to the homeowner when we do our estimate. So.
Nice. That's a smart idea. I know there's some inspectors that wear body cams. I haven't got to that point yet, but you get a lot of people blaming you for breaking something. And because I've had windows where I unlock it and the sash just falls down and breaks the glass.
Yeah.
It's like, well, whose fault is that? I did was unlock a window. Like, am I supposed to replace that? So, having a system like that where you have pictures and stuff, and then even just explaining them, like you just explained there, like, hey, this is an issue here. It's going to become a bigger issue after we wash it.
And there's a lot of stuff too. Like when we do exterior windows, we don't always clean the interior, and we use a system called, it's water fed pull. We use a reverse osmosis, a DI system that filters the water. And then it sprays through the water fed pull brush system. And we wash just like a spot-free car wash, but we do it for your windows, and it cleans your windows up spot-free. Now, we won't take the screens out. So we tell the homeowner, hey, you have to take the screens out. They're like, well, why can't you? I go, well, if we break them, then it could be an issue. And it's separate too, you know, insurance and stuff going inside. Now, when we go inside, we'll take the screens out, but we say, hey, you know, they're going to sign something that says if any of the screen breaks, it's not on us, because you never know until you, like you said, take the screen out or something like that. But that's just stuff, you know, you want to let the homeowner know. And there's so much stuff on a house, like we're talking today, you know, and you know, with being an inspector, you know, if I was interviewing you, you'd just say stuff that I'm like, I didn't think of that. It's just one of those things when you're in depth and you're going through a walkthrough on the homeowner, that they can see it. And it's just so much that they're like, did we talk about it? So we actually have a sheet that our territory manager, whoever does the estimate, and it just some of the basics, oxidation, this, and they actually sign this sheet that says, hey, I went over it with you. Then they have a copy. So when we do the wash, they're like, well, you never said it. We're like, well, it was in the sheet you signed. You remember that oxidation? It's a restoration, not a cleaning. You're like, oh, yeah, I remember that. Oh, I'm so sorry. And the homeowner might not remember it. They're not like they're trying to get one over on us. They just are so busy. When you do the walk around, there's a million things of gutters, of the driveway, of this. They forget about the oxidation. Then they do the walk around when they're home or their husband comes home, and then they see that. So that's another thing that you really have to make sure you're on.
Yeah, I mean, nobody's reading any of those agreements or any of those things that you're having anybody sign.
Yeah.
I have that happen all the time.
Yeah, and we have stuff, too, where we send them, you know, we give them the in-person estimate. It's written out. We give them the pricing and all that. And, you know, we want to, you know, have them choose and pick what they want to do. And then they also have that sheet. It's the inspection sheet of the property. And then we take pictures of any dead plants, anything like that, like oxidation, you know, like a cracked window, a chip in the siding. Because the homeowner, especially if you live on a golf course, right? And when there's tons of golf courses where we're at, right? You drive, you know, a mile or two, and you can pass three or four of them where you're at. You know, they might not realize last spring a golf ball hit the siding. They call us in, we wash it, and they're like, they walk the house and like, well, that wasn't there. Well, it could have happened the day before. You know what I mean? Well, we have a picture of where it's busted, and then we take before and after pictures and all that stuff too. It's just so much. And as me and Jamie and I were started to grow the company, and that's what Software Systems was helping us with, is, you know, growing the company, helping us do that, you know, that learning curve and stuff like that many years ago. Or now, today, it's all in place. All of our systems are in place. All of the guys, when they get on the trucks, in place. Everything's in place where it's just point and click. You know, the guys are like, hey, we need more inspection sheets, or we need this, and it's good to go. But when you first implement all that stuff, it's a lot of work. And I want to give Jamie props on that. She does all of our back end work. A lot of times she'll go out in the field and do estimates and all that stuff. And people don't realize when you start any company, you start growing it, whether it's a power washing company, or even I got a good buddy that does dog poop cleanup, and he's making a killing at it, but he goes, man, running the company is the hardest thing, the paperwork, this and that, you know? So it's not what you do. People think, oh, just washing, or, you know, lawn cutting, dog poop cleanup. You know, at the end of the day, you're running a company, and for it to run efficiently, you've got to have systems in place and write everything down.
Yeah, the systems are important. I mean, having stuff to cover your ass, like you were talking about, to get pictures, walking through with people, because like you said, people don't know what's wrong with their house. I experience that with people all the time. You know, I go through their I have people that, like, the seller is there, and they're like, oh, you're probably not going to find anything wrong with this. I take good care of it. And then I hit them with, like, a 60-page report. And they, you know, it's just stuff that they just have no clue. So, yeah, that's smart going through with everything, because, you know, they're not looking at their house as meticulous before the power wash or before the soft wash as they are afterwards, because they're wanting to see how good of a job you did, and they might notice something that wasn't. It was there before, but they didn't see it before. So,
well, and I like to say, and this is true. This is a lot of times. This is true for any service based company. Doing the thing's about the easiest thing. So the guy's washing. That's easy. They, you know, I can get a technician in here. He can go through the program, take the test, get on the truck. I can have a technician trained up, ready to roll and do good basic house roof washing, nothing too crazy within a couple weeks. You know what I mean? But it's all the little stuff. It's taping this off, taping that off. You know, it's all that. It's all that stuff. You know, making sure you're calling a customer back when you know they have questions or hey, they missed a spot. Which happens? Hey, you know, I noticed the side here. Is this supposed to be like this or not? You know, call them back right away. Certain stuff like that. So, yeah, cleaning, I feel like doing the actual work job itself is the easiest part. And then your customer service and all the other stuff is really the challenging part.
Yeah, sometimes I wish I could just do the inspections and that's it. Because as you know, I mean, you're answering phones on the weekends at night. People text you or whatever. I don't know if you guys do texting with your business. But
yeah, we do texting. We do texting, email, anything when we're not in the office. Jamie gets everything forward to her phone. There are certain times we'll sure turn it off, of course. But you know, we've already gotten a couple phone calls during the big snowstorm. People were kind of calling in, and Jamie has a couple estimates she's going to do tomorrow. So yeah, we want to make sure no matter how busy we are, how slow we are, we want to make sure we get there as soon as possible. And there's sometimes stuff falls through the cracks, where a homeowner is like, oh, you know, sorry. I'm like, we understand. Or, we get this sometimes where it's mandatory for us to go in person. They're like, well, I don't want you to come in person. We're like, well, we can't give you a price. And they'll actually get upset with us. And we'll say, yeah, it could be our minimums. About $600 to come out. And they're like, oh, that's so much. My house is so small. We'll be like, well, you know, your house, your windows, your driveway, well, I just need a normal house wash. And I'm like, well, then, you know, for our crew to come out, we need to be around that $600 mark, you know. And they're like, okay, I'm going to go with someone else. And we understand. But yeah, we'll get people where we go, we can't, you know, we can't do anything over the phone with you because we need that inspection. And a lot of times when they'll get upset or they'll like, okay, then fine and hang up, that's we dodged a bullet. Because not every customer we want to work with, and not everyone wants to work with us too. You know, there's people that fit a certain niche and they want the cheapest and the guy to come out. And if they miss a spot, they're okay with it. You know, when we come out, no matter if we say cut our prices in half and, you know, we wash and we miss a little spot, automatically we're the higher valued company, just the way, you know, our trucks, the way our guys are, that no matter what we charge, the homeowners are always going to give us a call. You know, we follow up on that stuff too. So we want to make sure that we're given a better value with that.
Yeah, definitely. And I think anybody listening to this that has a business or is going to start a business needs to keep branding in mind because, yep. Like when I think of washing, like exterior washing, cleaning, like I automatically just think of you because anytime I've ever seen you, you've got that shirt on. I recognize the logo. I recognize you. And that's kind of, you know, what helps businesses is, brand awareness. And just
yep.
Making sure that your logo and everything is in front of people constantly because they may not need anything today, but you know, in 2 months, if somebody mentions, you know, that they need their house washed, who's the first person they're going to think of? You know, because they're always seeing your logo and your shirt.
Yeah, and it's not just us. You know, it's just not me or my Jamie. You know, all of our technicians have a uniform. We supply them the shirt, pants, boots, and hat. You know, they have to do their socks and underwear. That's it. You know, we have jackets. You know. Well, I have a waterproof jacket the guys wear that's just like this. We have like a little hoodie pullover for the guys, a little bit, you know, like a normal pullover. That's for the when it's kind of, you know, spring out, they wear it. That's, you know, it's all this. So it's just not, you know, having me and Jamie or me wear it everywhere. It's, you know, Dan, our territory manager that does a lot of our sales for us. You know, whenever he does meetings, people know him. And they'll see our guys and we'll, I have Johnny. Johnny's our lead technician and he's about to be our operations manager, starting spring. people walk up to me like, oh, hey, you know, you work with Rick. He goes, yeah, you know, he goes, yeah, I saw him today, you know, and he'll tell me people walk up to him or they're like, hey, you washed my house a couple months back. He goes, yeah, I remember you and stuff like that or stuff like that. So yeah, wearing the shirt really helps out. And it's just like you said, brand awareness, especially with all of our truck wraps. You know, we have 3 wrapped cars, 1 wrapped truck. I need to get that second truck wrapped. It's just, you know, I got to get it in there.
Yeah. Yeah. So I do have a question for you in regards to like driveway cleaning. So my truck leaks oil on my driveway.
Yep.
Do you guys have something special that you use that you're able to get oil out of driveways, like oil stains and stuff?
So with oil, you know, I don't ever guarantee anything. You know, I can guarantee we can get there. We can wash it. We can lighten that stain up. I can't guarantee that it's going to come up 100%, stuff like that. I've cleaned driveways. We've done a lot of drive-through restaurants like McDonald's, Raising Cane's. At one point, we were doing all the McDonald's in St. Charles County, all the Raising Cane's.
Oh, wow.
When they first were here, now Raising Cane's only had about 6 or 7 stores when we were doing them back in the mid-teens or whatever. Doing driveways, we can lighten it up. And stuff like that, you know, we'll do stuff for dealerships like Bomarito. Every time they have a leak, they'll give us a call. And we'll go out and clean it for them. But yeah, I can say we get it there. We have a hot water machine that we'll use. And we have some good degreaser stuff that we'll use. And the only thing I can say is we can lighten it up. And, you know, it may come off. It may not.
Is there anything that you like a certain sealant or stain that you recommend people put on their driveways to? So that if oil or something does leak on it, it kind of helps, it makes it easier to get up or doesn't cause issues.
Yeah. So all the, we don't do too much when it comes to sealing driveways. And when we do, when we seal a driveway, if it's an exposed aggregate with the driveways that have the pebble, you know, they look like the pebble rocks. We use an oil base for that, and then it has a tint in it, and it makes it give it the slick look. For our normal concrete driveways, we do a flat base look. It's a water base, and it really it penetrates the concrete about 3 or 4 inches. But you know, even with that stuff, if you have anything in there and it sits in there long enough, you never know with it. If you get some stuff from like a Home Depot, they'll tell you it'll say exposed aggregate on it, and they'll say, yeah, you can put it on your driveway, and that exposed aggregate has a brown tint to it. You put that on normal concrete and it'll make your concrete look horrible. So a lot of that stuff, you got to watch out for that. But yeah, I just say, you know, if you just get your concrete washed every couple years and do that and do a sealer on it, you should be good. I'd recommend go to Newway, get some sealer from there, a Home Depot type sealer. You never know, it can fail. And then what'll happen is if you don't put it on right, it can chip, it can bubble up, it can flake off, just like paint, kind of.
So does those sealers, like something from Newway, does that help in terms of like when people put salt down and ice melt down too? Does that kind of help protect that?
Yeah, that'll help. Now the most sealers are going to get out there. I guess they do sell some water-based sealers, which are really good. That's one I recommend. The oil-based sealer is basically a sealer that's going to sit on the top of the concrete. It's not going to penetrate as much, and it's going to give you that slick look. You know, it's going to look wet. You know, that's more of a, you know, that looks nicer. We use a matte sealer. It's a water-based, and then that actually penetrates it. And that's going to get it, you're not going to be able to tell it's on there until the concrete gets wet, and it's going to beat up like your car. You know, when you wax your car, it's going to beat up. That's what's going to happen. That lets you know the sealer is working really well. But we use a special sealer. I forget what it's called, but we have to be licensed to use it and stuff with the company. Oh. So yeah, with that, but I try not to recommend too much stuff for sealers because I don't really know how good it is. And I've had stuff where I used to use stuff from Newway and it failed, and I had to strip. And when it fails and you put it on there, you got to go back, strip it off, and then put new sealer on, which that, you know, that ruins your profits and stuff like that, no matter really what you charge. I had that happen at the end of COVID, and I think that was a manufacturing issue. And then the manufacturer was like, yeah, that's on you. And I'm like, dude, I got like 1,200 feet of back patio I got to strip now. I'm like, well, can you at least, you know, pay for some sealer? You know, I use some different stuff. It worked great, but, you know, it's one of those things. That was the only time it's happened. So then I moved strictly to the water base for normal concrete. And then the exposed aggregate, I use that special stuff for that.
So is that something you recommend when you when people have you come out and clean their driveways? Do you try to make them get like a sealer for their driveways? Or is it something that if somebody just wants it, you guys are able to do it?
Yeah, we'll tell them about it. If their driveway is looking old, like, so a lot of times is when we're out there giving our estimates, we want to give them stuff that they're going to get value off of. So if they're like, if their roof doesn't need to be cleaned, I'll put on there how much your cleaning for the roof would be. But I would say, hey, I don't recommend cleaning it. Or if the concrete just needs to be cleaned, but yet it's older, it's chipping, it's peeling, it's spalling, you know, where it kind of pops. I say right now you need a new driveway. Don't seal it. Now, if you've gotten it washed, if you've gotten it a new driveway poured, and then you wait 6-7 months, we can seal it. Or if it's an older driveway, but it's still in good shape, then I'd say, yes, I'd recommend to seal it. It just comes on. And then what are we? We're about $1.25 a square foot for power washing and sealing the driveway. So a lot of times that can be a little costly. But again, you got to watch out if you seal something and the product is bad at any time, you have to back it up. Or something happens at any time with that stuff, you have to back it up. And we'd have to come in there, strip it off, and then redo it again. It's only happened once out of our 16 years in business. But still, you just want to make sure you're doing everything properly and doing it like you should.
Right. Yeah. And well, and honestly, it sounds like with everything you guys do, all the preparations you take and stuff like that, it sounds like you guys are doing it the proper way. I don't know if there was anything else you wanted to talk about or let people know that you do. I know your main business is soft washing. I mean, is there anything you don't clean or any kind of jobs you don't take or anything that you do that we wouldn't have thought of?
Yeah. So we don't, you know, I don't do heavy machine, like heavy equipment cleaning, like backhoes, skid loaders, you know, heavy equipment, stuff like that. Trucks, we don't do like tractor trailer cleaning. We still do a little bit of car washing dealerships. I do one or two little lots here. But yeah, for the most part, like when it comes to like house, residential, commercial houses, apartment complex, churches, anything like that, we can clean. And I'd say, you know, if someone's watching this and like, well, you know, just give us a call and we'll let you know. If you own a trucking company and you want us to clean 20 of your trucks, we'll recommend someone for you. But at the end of the day, we kind of, you know, we stay in our lane, what we're good and what we're good at. I don't really do deck staining. You know, we'll soft wash the deck. That's about it. You know, we won't really stain it. We'll go out. We did an HOA, and we did about 30 decks. We did it because we cleaned all their apartment complexes and they want us to stay in the deck. So we said we would come in, we'd do it. I used to do tons of decks. So we did that, but something for like a normal homeowner, we wouldn't really do that. We'd recommend another company that specifically stains decks, and that's like its own industry too. I know guys that's what they do, and they're like, they'll give me a lot of house, like, I don't want to wash this house, but can you wash the house? And I'm coming in, I'm gonna seal the deck. And I'm like, yeah, great, you know. So but we are we've been in business washing for 16 years. I got Johnny, our lead tech, been with us for about 2.5 years. He's going to be operations manager. And then me and Jamie we've already started it. We're pretty much everything on the ball. We're just waiting for spring. We're actually started a roofing company, roofing and solar. It's Eagle Eye Roofing and Solar. We actually went out to Illinois, and Jamie did some classes out there, and we actually got licensed through Illinois for roofing. Because in Missouri, you don't really need a license to do any roofing or stuff like that. So we thought that would kind of set us apart from everyone else. And then we have I can't say who it is, but I got a good friend of mine that's going to come on board and work with us on the roofing side of things and stuff like that. So, yeah, we're looking to start that this spring, and we got everything in line to start rocking and rolling with the roofing company.
Awesome. What made you guys decide to do that?
So our biggest thing, we wash roofs. That's our ticket. We want to go. You know, we wash a lot of the like in Wentzville at the Wentzville Bluffs, whatever, off Highway Z. We wash all those roofs on that little area. You know, the B&B Theater, the Hot Shots, Stony River. You know, we do residential, commercial, tiles, shingle roof, and I got a lot of buddies that are roofers, and I've talked with them, and the way we kind of run our company, do our estimates and stuff like that, it's kind of not so much different than a roofing company, of course, that they're putting on a roof, stuff like that. But I just saw what they're doing and it fits really well. And I went, got some training over the summer. I'd spent 2 weeks in North Carolina working with the company, learning the ins and outs of the trades of it. And it was just something that we thought, you know, our soft washing is really doing well, but to, you know, really take it to the next level would be starting another company. And we feel like we've gotten the soft washing in good hands. We have our territory manager, Dan, has been really good working with us. Our technicians, Johnny, is actually going to, I think, fill the role of operations manager. And we'll still be here, too, to help. It's, you know, we have our office here, so we're going to run the roofing company out of here. So we'll still be around. But I feel like our soft wash, Midwest soft wash, is to that point where we can kind of sit back, let our guys kind of run it, still be there, help it out, and then we can concentrate on doing something else. And it's just something that we wanted to do and to grow as a family and just to help more people out.
Nice. Well, that's awesome. Hopefully that takes off for you. I know it's on the Missouri side, it's one of those things that's kind of hard to find a good roofer because of the issue with licensing. That's the same thing with inspectors. It's Missouri's kind of the Wild West.
Yep.
In terms of contractors and licenses and stuff, because the I've got an Illinois home inspector license, but like Missouri, they don't have anything. So I keep renewing my license for Illinois because it's good to have that. Since Missouri doesn't have any kind of licensing, so that's smart to get the roofing license for there.
Yep. And we figured, you know, we're so close to Illinois. We can, you know, we're in Wentzville, so it's about a 45-minute drive now you get in there. But it'll set us apart. Hey, what's different between you and this company? I'm like, I don't know, but are they licensed through Illinois? And then we can say, hey, this is what they require. So we're just not a fly-by-night company. And then we're part of the, we're part of Software Systems. We're part of, I forget what it's called, RSRA, Roofing and Solar Alliance. And it's kind of the same thing for roofing that we are a part of for soft washing. So it's a lot of other companies in there that have been around, a lot of training, a lot of stuff we can, we can shoot ideas off of people. And then also bringing people in that know what they're doing too. And I think bringing my buddy in, that he's ran a roofing company for 20 years. He retired recently and he's looking to get back into it. So bringing him on to help us grow the company, I think would be great. And it's, it's going to 2025 is looking really good for us.
That's awesome. Awesome. Yeah. And if we get any more of the hailstorms, it seems like we had one in 2023 towards the end, and then we had one at the beginning of last year. So that'll kind of help the roofing business.
Yeah. And we do tons of HOAs, tons of apartment complex, you know, we know, so we already kind of have an in, and we've already been talking to a lot of these people and these property managers, and they're like, yeah, you guys do a great job. You know, we're already in, and one of them already said, hey, my roofing company I deal with now, they sold to someone else and it's horrible. They took our main contact person away and now it's just getting them out here to do anything. So they're like, when you're ready to roll, give us a call. So we're going to talk with them. And we already have an established base of quality with our one company, our soft washing, and we're just going to work that up. And then two, doing a lot of retail where, you know, the roof needs to be replaced, but the homeowner has to pay for it for themselves. So we want to do a lot of that stuff. Yes, insurance work is great, and that's a whole different animal. But we're really good at selling our value. as a company for soft washing, I feel like selling our value as Eagle Eye Roofing and Exteriors and Solar, I think that just helps out even more. So,
yeah, awesome. Well, do you have do you want to tell people like your website or any social media handles that people can get in contact with you?
Yeah, we're just our website's at MidwestSoftWashing.com. And then I'm Rick Neese, R-I-C-K-N-I-E-S. I do a lot of stuff on my page. And then it's Midwest Soft Washing on Facebook. And then I think Instagram and stuff, Midwest Soft Wash. But a lot of my personal page, I'll throw some videos up and do that real quick. And then Jamie kind of handles everything on the business page. So the business page is a little more clean. My personal page on Facebook is basically my business page. I run that mainly for my business. I don't do too many family posts or stuff like that. I did a post the other day about taking the skid out of the truck and getting it ready to take down Christmas lights. So, yep.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate it. It was a good conversation. Yeah, I definitely learned a lot that I didn't know about soft washing and preparation and stuff like that. So I'm sure listeners will definitely enjoy this, especially home inspectors, because it helps give us an idea of what we could tell clients, like, hey, expect this, or make sure if you do get a bid, they're going to do this. Otherwise, you know, there could be issues come up. So, appreciate it, Rick.
Yeah, thanks, Zach. We appreciate it, man. Thanks for having us.
All right. We'll talk to you later.
All right. See ya.